As you have a Bible, can you open it at Mark chapter 6 and from verse 30? I want to look with you today at the feeding of the 5,000 and also at Jesus walking on water and everything that surrounds it. Sometimes when I'm sitting in the study doing what I do, sitting in the study door will burst open and Robbie will come in and Robbie will share some news with me about a footballer. And he will give me the person's name and he will tell me what great accomplishment this person has achieved or what exciting news there is about whoever this is. And whilst I try to be glad for Robbie and his excitement, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. I haven't taken the time to learn anything about football and I haven't really taken any time to follow this individual. And so as he speaks, I don't know the significance of the news that he's telling me. Well, why do I provide that as an opening illustration? I want you to take a step into the disciples' feet. They know something about Jesus. They're learning who he is. But as they encounter Jesus, they are not, they're like me, they are not getting the significance of the next step or the next thing that Jesus tells them. And so I don't think they're all really mentally challenged or anything like that, but they seem slow to discover who Jesus is. We read that their hearts were hardened about what they'd seen when Jesus fed 5,000 people. So what we see is Jesus presented to us, and we've to understand who he is. So to help us do that, I want us to go back to the very beginning of Mark's gospel, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The good news of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want us to keep that in mind and to recognize then that all of the gospel of Mark is in this context of being good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want us to look at this passage and to see different ways in which this is good news for us, actually, good news for Dunfermline, good news for anybody who would come to Jesus. I want us to look at this as good news then. So first of all, it's good news for the followers of Jesus. It's good news for the disciples. As we see this passage in Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, we see the disciples have come back to Jesus, and they've reported to him all that they had done and taught. It's good news because Jesus cares for his disciples. See, if we look back, we see in verse 6, halfway through verse 6, Jesus sent his disciples out to go and to spread his message. And they've gone out and done that. And then we went into the story of John the Baptist being beheaded. Now the disciples come back and they come to Jesus and they say, "This is what we did. This is how it went. This is what they said to us. This is what happened to us." And Jesus sees that they're tired. Jesus sees that they need something to eat. He cares for his disciples. I don't know how many of you get an appraisal every 6 months or however often you get your appraisal, but I wonder when you sit down with the person who's given you your appraisal at work, do you think, he or she really cares for me? They're not seeing if I'm up to scratch. They're actually wanting me to enjoy all this and to really prosper in it. Well, Jesus, as his disciples come back, he does call them to account. But as you see, as he invites them away with him, "Come with me by yourselves," he says, "to a quiet place and get some rest." They get some rest. Well, it's good news for you. It's good news for you who are followers of Jesus and you are wondering, how do you go around serving him and what should you say? Well, I think what we see here is that Jesus cares about what you say. As I stand here and preach to you, sometimes I come to church and I'm worrying about what people will think when I'm going to preach. And I have to try and not make you bored out of your skulls or anything like that. But it's to God I have to give an account. It's to God I have to report back. And it is encouraging even to know that he cares about that. It's sobering and it's encouraging. He cares about his followers. He cares about them getting rest. The next thing I want to see, I've got 10 points or 11 points today, lots, so we'll go quite quickly. Good news for the lost. Good news for the lost, because when they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Imagine the scene. We're going for something to eat. We're going away. It's just us together. And as you're crossing the water, you see the people start running to the place where you're going. And you might think, oh, people, I didn't need this, I didn't want this, but Jesus cares about these people. By the time they get to the shore, the people are already there. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. One writer imagines that because all the people in that day would be generally wearing non-coloured cloth or white cloth, it would look like sheep all running along a hillside and coming to this place. And if ever you have trouble getting to sleep, you're told to count sheep, you would have no problem getting to sleep because there's so many people in front here. And Jesus sees them and he has compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. We sang in Psalm 77, your people like a flock of sheep you guided every day. God is a shepherd of his people. God looks after his people, and Jesus sees these folks and they have not got a shepherd. Nobody is leading them. Nobody is guiding them. They're lost. And he has compassion on them. Well, what does that mean? It meant then that he gave his time to teaching them. It meant that when they had their physical needs presented, that he cared for their physical needs. He did what was necessary for their physical needs. That's good news. Who were they? They were locals from every town and village around the place that knew that Jesus was arriving over there. How's that good news for Dunfermline? What would Jesus do in Dunfermline? Well, maybe he would be with us or with another group of people who are worshipping God. But the other thing we have to see is that he would have compassion. Some compassion on the lost people. He would want them to have a shepherd. And he would give his time to teaching them. Because good news is that Jesus cares for the lost. When I worked in fundraising, we had a word that we used whenever things weren't going well, we would say it's compassion fatigue. You'll have heard it. People are fed up of all the charity appeals that come through their doors, so they're tired and they can't keep giving. Well, what you see here is compassion, fatigued disciples, tired disciples, but Jesus keeps on being compassionate to them. And we see that he drives them towards compassion. And as we think, as his disciples, oh, there's too much to do. We can't do it. I'm tired of all the ways I'm asked to do this or that. Well, we move on and we see that it's good news because Jesus provides when his disciples can't. Jesus provides when his disciples can't. They are tired. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. They've had enough. They need to go. And so when all these people are there, it's late in the day. So his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Let's think about this. This is actually, it sounds a little bit compassionate. There's so many people, we can't feed them. We need to send them away now or they'll be too late to get something to eat. That is compassionate. They're thinking of what the people need. And we're saying that actually it might be quite good. And they're not just acting selfishly because they're tired and they want to go home. And maybe that's how we are sometimes, that when we're thinking, oh, what do we do here? We come up with the best solution we can think of. It is a problem. We can't sort it on our own. So we need to apply logic and say they need to go home. And or head start heading, and they'll get something to eat. And we won't have lots of hungry people lying around unable to move because they've got no energy or anything like that. So the problem is presented to Jesus. The different Gospels, you could come and wonder, did the disciples first point out the hungry people, or did Jesus start questioning the disciples about the hungry people? But what we can see is that Jesus says to them, knowing what they have, he says, you give them something to eat. You know, quite often we say, God, will you do something about all the lost people in my house, in my work, in my... Maybe he says, you do something. Maybe he doesn't, maybe he'll send somebody else, but listen and look. He provides where the disciples can't. I would love to know, has anybody got around 8 months' wages in their pocket just now? Because if you have, we'll pass around the collection bag again. But 8 months' wages, it's a lot of money to carry around, and that's how much they would need. So much money, £8,000, £12,000, you know how much it is. It's a lot of money that they would need, and they didn't have it. Jesus asks them to do what they could not do. You provide something to eat. I want to take you to the end of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus says to his disciples, all authority is given to me. You go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Can you make a disciple? Have you tried to make a disciple? Have you sat down with somebody and said, I know you're an unbeliever just now, I'm going to make you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, there's a sense in which you can't, because the one who makes disciples is Jesus Christ himself. The one who opens people's hearts is Jesus Christ himself. But he tells the disciples to go and do it. And here he tells, as he tells the disciples to go and feed the people, and they can't. They can't on their own unless he enables them, unless he equips them, unless he gives them everything that they would need to do it. And that's what we see. That is what we see when we look at what Jesus asks us to do. None of it we can really do on our own. But he doesn't ask us to do things that he will not help us to do. He does not ask us to do things that he will not give us what we need to do. He provides. Good news. Jesus provides through his disciples who could not. Good news. Jesus is creator. What we see when Jesus is given these loaves and when he's given these fishes is that he takes a little and he multiplies. It's different from Genesis 1 where there was nothing and he made everything out of what was nothing. But now we have him multiplying what he has. I just want to... Fortunately, somebody took a roll from the house this morning, but if I take a roll here just to show you what happened, he took it and once he gave thanks to God. And then he broke. And that is given in the tenses that it happened just once. And then it moves on and it says, he gave. And he gave is able to be interpreted that he kept on giving. He gave and he gave and he gave. And so Jesus takes what was little and he made it so much that he was able to keep on giving and giving and giving so that the people would have. And what we see is that he is creator. Now, the big question is this believable? Do you believe that Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he multiplied it? Or do you want the scientific explanation? Well, there is no scientific explanation. And if you can't believe this, then the 4 gospel writers are trying to deceive you. They're trying to kid you on that this happened. And if you can't believe this, then you're not able to believe that God created the world or anything like that. Because what we are starting to see is that Jesus has been presented to us as the one with creative power because he is God. It is foundational. This miracle is foundational in the Gospels for helping us to see that Jesus is God. And that is good news for us. That is good news because he who creates is him who is able to recreate, to give new life. Him who creates It is always able to use that power. Good news, he's a creator God. Now, the next piece of good news is that he gave them what was needed. Now, I don't want to make an example of anybody, but I would suggest there are a few people in this room who, if I gave you all four complete rolls that are there, you wouldn't be able to say, I ate and was satisfied. You would still go home and you would expect somebody to give you a nice lunch. You would expect a bit more. Why am I saying you would expect somebody to give you? Because that's the kind of guys you probably are. What would satisfy you? See, there are people that would try and explain that actually what happened was that he took that, and it's good to have these there with us, because if we look at these rolls, you know, if we, there's five rolls, there are, I think, just about 50 people in here just now, just over, so that's a tenth of a roll each. Well, that wouldn't satisfy you. It really was something they ate and they were satisfied with, because there is so much left over that there are 12 basketfuls brought back in. There is more than they needed. And so what the good news is that Jesus provides what is needed, to the point that we're able to say, like the psalmist does in Psalm 23, my cup is overflowing. I'm getting more than I needed. There's just so much. And so we're able to see that in all aspects of our life. And that's good news. Good news that Jesus will not just give you a little. He will give you what you need. You'd be able to say, like Paul, that your grace is sufficient for me. There's enough. There's plenty. So good news. Good news next is that Jesus sticks to the plan. Verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowds. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Why? This is just an incidental, it looks like. But if we bring the story together from all the Gospels, we find that they wanted to make him king at this point. They wanted to make Jesus king. And Jesus, it would seem, either because he is still having compassion on his disciples, he says, they're too tired to send the people away. I need to send the people away. Or because he knows his disciples are still hard in their heart and not really getting who he is, he says, they can't deal with this just now. And he goes away, he sends them away, and that shows us, because he will not allow himself to be made king. Just as we're going through the Gospel of Mark, he didn't want the demons to identify who he was. He wasn't ready for anyone to identify who he was, because their interpretation of who he was wrong. So he didn't want anyone getting his identity wrong, and he didn't want people identifying him too early. He sticks to the plan. Why is that good news for you? Because the beginning of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ, is the announcements that he came and shows us how he's coming. And then, as we get to the end of the story, where is Jesus? He's not on a cross, he's risen. He's risen. That's the end of the story. The good news is he sticks to the plan that fits into the story. Next piece of good news is that Jesus prays. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Why is this good news? What did he pray about? Tell me what he prayed about. We don't know what he prayed about. It doesn't say Jesus prayed that the disciples would get across the water safely. It doesn't say that Jesus prayed that the people would give up on making him king just now. What were Jesus' prayers like? They were Father. They were prayers to the Father. They were the one who is equal, because he is God, submitted himself to God and always did submit himself to his Father's will. But as you can see, as we read the prayers of Jesus, we see that he would pray that God's will would be done. Would he pray for his disciples? John 17, he prays for his disciples. He prays. Jesus speaks to God. Jesus has fellowship with God. Jesus depends on God. Jesus agrees with God. But why is that good news for us? Because the story hasn't finished. The good news of Jesus Christ shows what Jesus went on to do. It shows us Jesus raised. And we read on in the Bible and we come to Jesus ascended. And we give thanks for him, because he is our great high priest, and therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Good news for you. Jesus still prays And we're able to say he's able, he still prays for those who come to God through him. Good news. Jesus comes to people who need him even when they're not looking for him. That's the next piece of good news as we move in the story. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. What's going on here? This is good news because the disciples weren't looking for Jesus. They're battling away against the wind. Matthew's gospel tells us that they were still a considerable distance from the shore. They were getting nowhere. It's kind of like they were on a rowing machine. They were going nowhere. They were on a treadmill. Nothing was happening. And Jesus, who has sent them away, he goes out walking on the water. Now, you might think because he was about to pass by them that it was a sort of accident that he went by their boat. But don't think that, because you've missed something out if you think that. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them. He did this purposefully. He was going to them. But then it tells us that he was about to pass them by. He was about to pass them by. So why does it say he went out to them, but he was about to pass them by? Kind of sort of like going along. Will they notice me, I wonder? Maybe, he's saying. Are they looking for me? See, that's what the commentators think that means. He was about to pass them by because he was waiting for them to cry out. He was waiting for them to recognize him because, you know, if you understand who this is, he is the one that can turn 5 loaves and 2 fishes into food for 5,000 people plus their families. This is a lot of food. So when they see somebody walking on the water, they should shout out, "Jesus, we're here." They go, "Ah, there's a ghost," because they're scared. See, this is how their hearts were hardened. They didn't see who Jesus was. But what we see is that Jesus still goes out to them. And when they cry, not knowing who he was, what does he say? "You're stupid. Did you not know it'd be me?" No, that's not Jesus. "Take courage. Don't be scared. It's me. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them. And without a word of a command, from what we see here, the wind died down. They were scared. They weren't looking for Jesus. But Jesus came to them. And Jesus met another of their needs, even when they weren't looking for him. Good news. Good news, people of God. Jesus won't leave you alone. Good news. Jesus will come to places that aren't looking for him. Still, he will make himself known. We see it in history. Good news. Jesus comes to people who are trying to get somewhere, trying so hard, giving all their energy and getting nowhere. And he will come and he will help them and by his power take away the obstacles that are stopping them get, whether it's unbelief, different things get in the way. Good news then, Jesus has supernatural powers. Not just creative powers, but supernatural powers, because we haven't spoken about Jesus walking on the water. I've watched a YouTube video of Dynamo, the magician, walking across the River Thames. It's pretty cool, really. At least everybody with their cameras out thinks it's really cool. It's really cool because he walks across, and then just after that, where he walks across, some canoes go by, so you can tell that he wasn't walking on something because canoes got off it. Unfortunately, just before he got to the middle and had to walk all the way across, the police arrested him for walking on water. And if you have the gumption to YouTube it, you'll also be able to see how he did it, what he walked on, and you'll be able to watch lots of videos of that illusion. See, it's not natural. People can't walk on water. Dynamo can't walk on water. Nobody can walk on water. But why can Jesus walk on water? Again, three of the Gospels tell us Jesus walked on water. How does he do it? This is unbelievable. No, it's not unbelievable. It's unexplainable, but not unbelievable. It's a miracle. Unexplainable, but not unbelievable. We are able to believe by faith that Jesus walked on the water. Well, what should this tell us when we see Jesus doing this? Well, we went back to the beginning of the good news of the Gospel of Mark, but let me take you back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Who was there to see it? Nobody. What did it look like? What does the Spirit of God hovering over the waters look like? A spirit. What do spirits look like? Spirits. We're no further forward then, really. And then comes Jesus, not hovering, but actually walking, making progress over the waters, on a journey, progressing, sustaining that walk. How? Not with anything underneath on a wild lake, but because he is God, he is able to do that. Good news for you. Good news for me, because if we can't believe that he is God who is able to do that, if we can't believe that he is able to do what we would think unnatural things because he is God, then we will not believe in his resurrection. We'll not believe in his resurrecting power that is told to us later on. We'll not believe he is able to save us from our sins. We need to see that this is who Jesus is, and that it's good news that this is who Jesus is. Good news. Jesus comes to people who don't really understand. He comes to people who are struggling. He comes to his disciples whose hearts are hardened, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. See, they didn't know. We sometimes forget it. You might say, I'd love to have been a disciple with Jesus and to seen what he was really like, and I'd find it easier to believe or something. But actually, the truth is that you know more than the disciples knew, because you know what happened after that. You know the whole story. You know even what's been interpreted by the Apostle Paul and things that they wouldn't have known at that time. But so, Jesus tells them their hearts were hardened. But that doesn't mean that Jesus will give up on you. I mean, I don't know. Having sat and said to everybody in this congregation, what do you think of Jesus? And what do you think of his ability to do miracles? And what do you think of resurrection? What do you think really happened with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes or whatever? And you might not get it. You might not be at the point of being able to say that proves to me that Jesus is God. And the disciples, they weren't there at that time. But Jesus still goes to them. So there's good news for you. Good news because you don't have to misunderstand, because the story is told a bit more in other places. There's good news, you have more information. But there is also good news as you look forward to the end of the story. Hey, why did Jesus have compassion on the people? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You don't need to be a sheep without a shepherd. You are the sort of person that, because you have the scriptures, the Old and New Testament, you know that the shepherd of Israel is actually the shepherd of God's people, and he's the good shepherd, and he's the good shepherd who not only knows his sheep, who recognizes them, but he's the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. You know that he has laid down his life because the story has been told to you in its fullness. The good news goes on. And so you are able to believe it. Good news. He healed those who came to him. We come to the end of the story and people come to Jesus. And they carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. All. We've been at the story of the lady who touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed. And now more people are coming saying, just his garment. Just his garment. Just get your hands on his garment and you'll be well. And so they would go. And guess what happened to them? All who touched him were healed. All who touched him were healed. Well, we've come to the end. What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus cares for his followers, and so he provides all that they need. He wants them to rest. Jesus cares for the lost. There's good news because he will teach them and he will feed them. There's good news because Jesus provides when his disciples have nothing to give. There's good news because he can do this because he is the Creator God. There's good news. He gives us everything that we need so that we have more than we would have thought we needed. Good news. He sticks to the plan, and he is sticking to the plan because he will come back. He will. He has gone and he will come back and he will call his people to be with him. Good news. Jesus still prays. He still prays for you. Good news. Jesus still comes to people who need him but aren't looking for him, and he makes himself known to them because he is able by his supernatural powers to break into our lives, to bring new birth, to give life where there was just really what the Bible says are dry bones, deadness, nothing. And even though people don't understand exactly who he is and what he's done, he still comes to them and he heals them. And the question for us is, well, how can I touch the hem of Jesus' garment? How can I do it? Let's all go and find out where his last garment was laid. And let's try and put our hands on it. And let's join the pilgrimage somewhere that is trying to do that. Church trip. No, you're not into that. Because you know it's not necessary. You know you don't need to go like that. You need just to go to Jesus Christ, who is accessible. Well, he showed us the way that God is accessible because he went that way himself and he prayed to his Father. And we go that way. And what we find is that all who touch him will be made well or will be healed. And so as we come to him with the sickness of our sin, of our misunderstanding, with all of our needs, then we know that when we touch him, when we go to him, we can be healed. So if you have not yet gone to Jesus, there is a way. You come to God through Jesus Christ. He is the way. And if you touch him, if you go to him, he will make you well. If you have not done that, what are you? Still unwell. Still not the way God wants you to be. And so you must do that. Well, let's pray now.